you know, I think somewhere late in the book I said, you know, I was inspired by this woman, Lenore Skenazy, who wrote about free-range childhood, and I wanted to have a word to her and say, well, what do you do when your free-range child turns feral? Because there was a point at which he was having such a fat time, Alex, our little boy, and he was just like, I'm not doing anything anyone tells me anymore. I'm just doing exactly what I want whenever I want.
Anarchy!
Yeah. And you kind of, I love that sort of spiritedness, but it makes it quite hard to kind of, you know, direct it. Family dynamic.
Especially in that environment where there are so many things, like when you're out west and you have to think about snakes, your sharks, the killer waves that you were talking about in Western Australia with little ones and walks through the gorges.
Oh, there were times, Weno Gorge in Karajini National Park, there was a time where I was just like butting heads with him and just having to lay down the law like, mate, this is dangerous, and if I can't get you to do exactly what I tell you to do, something really bad could happen. And I just had to get really gnarly because it was scary. There's just these precipitous drops and he's just going, I'm not doing what you tell me to do. It was a nightmare. And,
I can see my 10-year-old doing that.
Yeah. But then eventually when we kind of got him to kind of see the point and we went did this gorge walk together, and it was really challenging and it was touch and go whether we thought we should have been doing it with kids our age. But it was this fantastic kind of group effort as a family, and it was one of the most precious kind of memories of the trip, how we all worked together to kind of negotiate this radical gorge walk. And when the chips were down, they kind of, you know, they kind of pulled their weight and did what we asked them to do, and they got into it. So that I always look at that little gorge walk in Karajini as a little kind of microcosm of the whole thing.
And I think the nice thing is that your grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be able to read Safari and know what you did when you were this age.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it wasn't something I'd sort of thought about a great deal, but just to have a record of the trip and even friends of ours to read it, because you never could explain in that much detail everything you go through on a trip like that. So friends of ours who've read the book now, I know they get it. They understand everything that we went through and the ups and downs. And, you know, you don't just get, hopefully, a kind of glossed over, you know, just kind of happy travelling tale. You know, you get the...
You talk about just your manhood, because when it's the man and the land, there are a lot of expectations, and at many times you're quite honest about the fact you don't meet those expectations, and you're often challenged by people who do, you know, these men who can just, they're like MacGyvers of the outback.
Yeah.
Are you more comfortable with yourself, or do you finish a trip like that feeling rather insecure?
I kind of realised early on I was going to have to be prepared to kind of make myself look a bit foolish for the reader to kind of trust me. You know, I didn't want to just kind of give a... Yeah, kind of like a glossy, varnished version of the trip, and I'd make it all sort of self-aggrandizing kind of exercise. You know, and I love that Lemonhead song that I quote, you know, I lied about being the outdoor type.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Because, yeah, I'd meet all these men who would just, yeah, as I said, literally put food on the table. They'd disappear at dawn and come back with a brace of fish, and I'd disappear at dawn and just come back with salt water coming out of my nose, you know.
I want to ask you a surfing question. Out of all the surf breaks you surfed, which was your most memorable? Did it come from a place where you expected, or was it a complete surprise?
Yeah, there's probably a handful, and a couple of them were the unexpected ones on the far south coast of New South Wales. And again, I like to be a little bit vague about the location, because I did receive some serious threats to my well-being. But it was just this beautiful national park camping ground, and it was kind of the dream realised quite early on in the trip, just to be in this beautiful bush setting with perfect waves just down the end of the beach and dolphins frolicking and the kids happy and the, you know, wife reclining in a camp chair reading a good book, and you know, goannas and kangaroos, you know, lolling around. It kind of was as good as it gets, so that was pretty remarkable. And then there are the well-known kind of desert surf camps in South Australia and WA, which are well-known to lots of surfers, but still I kind of like the mystique around them, so I try not to kind of promote
where they are
names, but lots of people know where I'm talking about. And there's something about that interface of desert and ocean which I think is really beguiling.
Do you feel like it changed you as a surfer, in terms of growth, whether your skills or your personal growth that you got from surfing those spots and the challenges that you faced?
I mean, as I said in the book, it kind of confronted me with my limitations and my own courage, because I thought I was hungering for this great wilderness surf experience, and then when you get it and you turn up, I hadn't thought about the the reality of sort of surfing alone. I did, just coming from the Gold Coast, it's hard to imagine having to surf alone, you know.
There's a great quote in the book where you're kind of hoping that if there are at least a few people around you, that if there's a shark, you got a chance.
Yeah, your odds are a bit better. And, I mean, even just one other person in the water, it makes it so much less terrifying. But I did realise that, that kind of surfing alone ideal is, I don't know, I'd prefer to have company. And when I was confronted with it, it was really unnerving.
When you saw that seal for you.
Yeah. And it makes you kind of appreciate the social aspect of surfing too, because, you know, the old saying, a pleasure shared is a kind of pleasure doubled, you know. Like, have someone else kind of go, you see that wave.
Yeah.